peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this 8th Sunday after Trinity, the 7th chapter of St. Matthew, the 15th, 18th, and 21st verses. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear... Every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. As I thought this past week on the words of today's gospel, there came to mind some words of that very learned 18th century churchman, Joseph Butler. And this is what he had to say. Things and actions are what they are, and the consequences of them will be what they will be. Why then should we desire to be deceived? Things and actions are what they are, and the consequences of them will be what they will be. Why then should we desire to be deceived? And yet the whole long story of Adam's lost and fallen race is one of deception, of deceiving and being deceived. In today's gospel, our Lord Jesus warns us against deception. First, he warns us against being deceived. And then he warns us against self-deception. First of all, he warns us against being deceived by false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. If there are true prophets, there are, alas, also false prophets. Remembering that the basic meaning of prophet in Holy Scripture is not so much one who foretells the future, but one through whom God speaks. Jesus himself is the one great prophet, just as Jesus is the one great shepherd, and just as Jesus is the one great priest. Jesus, the one great prophet, commissioned his apostles to speak for him. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you, and the one who hears you hears me. And therefore, true prophets are those who teach and preach in harmony with the apostles' teaching, as we find that teaching in written form in Holy Scripture, God's Word written. Faithfulness to that written word is the test of true as distinguished against false prophets. And there can be no greater deception than when people pass along their own delusions as if they are the Word of God. And what a caution it is that even among the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus, one of them turned out to be a thief and a traitor. And given that fact, we can scarcely be surprised that all through the long centuries of the Church's life, there had been not only countless faithful shepherds of Christ's flock, but also numerous false teachers who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You can recognize them by the fact that they want you to place your trust somewhere else than in Jesus. In Jesus' word of pardon given in holy baptism and in holy absolution, and with his true body and precious blood truly present and given to us to eat and to drink in the sacrament of the altar, the seal of pardon, the sure and certain pledge of our own resurrection from the dead. So Jesus warns us against being deceived, but he also warns us against self-deception when he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We all know, or should know, how easy it is to deceive ourselves. And that's one of the many reasons why it's so important to come to divine service every Lord's Day, and why the much neglected practice of private confession is such a blessing. Because both in the divine service and in private confession before the pastor, we are freed from self-deception. As we confess our sins, here we are undeceived, masks removed, sin confessed. So how is it with you, with me? How am I? How are you in our heart of hearts? Jesus says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." So do you and I see in our lives what St. Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, by which he means the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control? Or do we instead see in ourselves what St. Paul calls the works of the flesh? And by flesh, he means not the body as such, but our whole human nature, body and soul, insofar as we rebel against God or out of sympathy with God. And what are these works of the flesh? According to St. Paul, the works of the flesh are fornication and impurity and indecency, idolatry, quarrels, a contentious spirit, envy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, party intrigue and jealousy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. And Paul goes on to say that those who do such things shall not enter the kingdom of God, faithfully echoing the word of Jesus: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So how is it with you and with me? Do we take delight in quarrels, in strife? Do we refuse to forgive those who hurt us? Are we quite simply kind? Do we use God's holy name carelessly or irreverently, or even to curse others? Do we rejoice at all that God has so wonderfully revealed to us in His Word? Or do we follow the fashionable skepticism of this age? Well, any honest examination will show that we are all without exception called to repentance, to sorrow for our wrong thinking, our wrong speaking, our wrong doing, and called to faith in Jesus, who, when asked, what must we do to be doing the works of God, replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent, in Jesus." For when we put our trust in Jesus, the Father sees us not as we are in our own deluded sinful selves, but as clothed in the spotless garments of Jesus' blood and righteousness. St. Paul said it, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And the church sings, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land." What is so wonderful about the divine service, the gathering of Christ's baptized children around His holy word and sacrament, is that we are here delivered from any need to pretend. Here we are freed from self-deception. Here we are able to admit that we are in truth poor sinners, whose only hope is in the unmerited love of God's dear Son, who in pure mercy has made us God's children, co-heirs with Him of eternal life. And so back to the words of Bishop Butler, things and actions are what they are, and the consequences of them will be what they will be. Why then should we desire to be deceived? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.